When you walk through the garden.
Welcome back to the program.
You gotta watch your back.
Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph. Pablo Giamatti Rudolph. Behind the dials, joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the Missouri football beat writer for the Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at @BTopMeyer. Blake, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Doing well as well. Okay. Yeah, doing well too. How about that? Let's go with
all
that
right,
one.
I'll take it.
So it looks like the breaking news right now coming out of Columbia is that the University of Missouri curators are requesting $253 million for building needs. Do you think they're going to get it?
I don't know. That's probably beyond my pay grade.
Oh, come on. You're going to be over there, you know, beating the table and demanding this kind of money?
No, I'm not going to.
You know what? You'd be a hero at Mizzou if you did.
Yeah, in these times, I think that's probably true.
So Mizzou 2017, they got their recruits in. Of the recruits that they have, which one do you think that Barry Odom is the most excited about?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. You know, with recruiting, everybody always looks amazing on their highlight reels. You know, you never compile plays where you look poor. So, you compile 10 plays where you look amazing. So, and that's what I'm judging on. And of course, Barry Odom can't talk about these guys until they sign. But with that caveat out of the way, I'll try to provide a little analysis. I think Chad Bailey, the linebacker, that's a Rivals 4-star that they've got committed within the last week, looks pretty good to me. He's got that size that kind of looks like an SEC linebacker. He's not one of those guys that's going to have to come in and put on 40 pounds or something like that. I think he looks pretty intriguing. I think Mike Ruth, the offensive tackle that they got out of Texas, he's a 3-star guy. He's 6'7" and over 300 pounds. And that's the one thing that the film can't really hide. I was saying everybody can kind of make themselves look good on their highlights, but you can't hide the fact of whether you're big or small. And this guy looks a legit 6'7" on his film. I mean, he's just huge. And it's almost kind of comical watching his highlight film. He's driving guys 20 yards upfield. Obviously, that's not going to happen against SEC linemen, but he does look pretty impressive. So those are two of the guys that kind of jump out at me, I'd say, of the recent ones.
In your opinion, what do you think the biggest need is for the Missouri Tigers, and did they address it with this recruiting class?
Well, I think they're in the means of doing so. I think linebacker was an area where they needed to beef up a little bit, and I think they're doing that. They got 3-4 linebackers committed, so I think that to me is probably the biggest area of need. They're set to lose Eric Beisel. You got Therese Hall. So the couple guys that are, kind of upperclassmen that you're going to have to start thinking about replacing. And so I think that was should have been a priority for them, especially because they signed only 2 linebackers in last year's class. So I thought there was a little bit more of a priority in that position than maybe some of the other ones. And with 4 linebackers committed, I think they're kind of in a good shape right now at that position.
How do you think Cam Hilton has looked so far, in these early practices?
Well, camp opens on Tuesday, so the last time I saw Cam Hilton was probably the last time you saw Cam Hilton, which was April 15th on the Black and Gold game. It's kind of still a revolving door at safety, I feel like. I think there's 4 guys, and the next month will determine who settles out as the 2 safeties of those 4 guys, and that would be Cam Hilton, Ronnell Perkins, Anthony Sherrills, and I knew I would do this. I'm blanking on the 4th safety there. Oh, yes. Thomas Wilson. So those are your 4 safeties, and they're all, throw them in a bag, shake them up, and pull 2 out. I mean, that's kind of the scenario Missouri's sitting in right now. I would say the leaders of the clubhouse are probably Perkins first and foremost, and then probably either Hilton or Sherrills.
It kind of looks like Barry Odom is sticking with the Gary Pinkel formula of, we recognize who we are. We're Mizzou. We're not Alabama. We're not Ohio State. You know, we're going to get maybe a four-star recruit every now and then, but we're not going to be overrun with four- and five-star talent. So let's get, like, the three-star talent from places like Oklahoma and Texas who aren't going to be able to go to OU or Texas, and we'll just get them up here and then get them in this program and coach them up. I think that's kind of like what Barry Odom's doing. Do you agree?
I think it's what he's going to probably have to do. I just think that's Missouri's reality. I mean, I think that's the narrative that will kind of be spun based on how this recruiting class turns out of, you know, Missouri's a place that gets a little bit unheralded guys. They come in, they develop them, and you know, and then you start touting the boilerplate information of all the two- or three-star guys that are now in the league.
Yeah.
The reality is, if you could give Barry Odom a bunch of four- and five-star guys, I don't care what he says, he's going to take them. It's just that those guys aren't going to come to Missouri. They never have. You know, and when you're going up against the traditional powers in the South, you're going to get a couple. Like you said, you're going to get a couple four-star guys in probably every class, but you're not going to get the number of those types of prospects as what the Alabamas, the Auburns, the Tennessees, the Texases are. And so you got to make do with what you got, and that's where player development does become key. And so, you know, I'm not sure which way that narrative works, if he's really trying to do this or just that he knows
that's reality. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really more what it is. Reality. And in the end, you know, all across the country, all these signing classes are going to be full of 20 to 25 guys, and you wait 2 years and then you find out what you got. You know, I mean, everybody's kind of going wild right now because Missouri's got 9 commits in the last week, and that's good. It needed to happen. But at the end of the day, we knew they were going to sign 20 to 25 guys anyway. It happens every year. And so whether the commits came now, whether they came a month ago, whether they came 2 weeks from now, it doesn't matter that much. What really matters is whether you got any good guys among them, and that's kind of a wait-and-see game.
So Blake Topmeyer saying there's no reason to get excited.
Well, to a certain extent, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. When Missouri was sitting here a week ago and they only had 5 commits, I don't know that I'd use the word panic, but I do think there was reason to be concerned. Middle of July, 5 commitments, that's not good. I mean, there was only like 3 or 4 other Power 5 teams in the country that had that few of commitments in their class. So that was reason for concern. Where I draw the line is like popping the bubbly because they've gotten, you know, 9 commitments, you know, in the last week. I mean, you look around and now they're sitting with 14 pledges, which is much better than 5, but 14 pledges is like what pretty much everybody else has at this point. And so you wait till the Easter egg hunt's over, you crack open the eggs, and you see whether you got the $20 bill or whether somebody else did.
Blake Topmeyer from the Columbia Daily Tribune joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at @BTopmeyer. I was trying to find the recruit's name. I lost it. I had it, but I lost it. He was from Kansas City, a defensive end, and he was an old Miss recruit. And everybody knows what went down there with Hugh Freeze and his hookers. Do you think that the Mizzou Tigers can swoop in and pick this guy up?
Well, I think that's the general idea, but I guess what...
Are you hearing any rumors about that, I guess I should say?
No. And the reality is that everybody's going to be swooping in on Ole Miss players at this
point.
You know? So, yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, like once the animal is dead in the Serengeti, here come the vultures to pick away the bones. It doesn't take long.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just hope you're the first one there, and or you can fend off the others when they get there.
When's the last time you saw Drew Locke, and how's he feeling about going into the season?
Locke was at SEC Media Days, so I have talked to him more recently than some other guys. He just seems so much, you know, okay, so when he came in 2 years ago, true freshman, he seemed like true freshman Drew Locke. Now he kind of seems like a 24, 25-year-old guy, even though he's a third-year junior, you know. You can sort of tell in talking to him that he's got 20 career starts under his belt. Fun little trivia question for you. Impress your friends with this. The quarterback with the most career starts in the SEC right now, Drew Locke is second, number one, is Danny Etling at LSU.
Really?
Now, more than half of those starts came while he was at Purdue. But if you're just counting starts and not starts within the SEC, it's actually Danny Etling. So file that one away. But yeah, Drew Lock seems to me like the guy who truly does have 20 starts. I think he's, you know, to use the cliche, calm, cool, collected. But he knows he needs to improve his consistency. I mean, some of the numbers look pretty good last year. You look at it, 23 TDs, the 10 interceptions, that's not bad. You look at almost 3,400 passing yards, that's pretty good. 54 completion percentage, not bad, could get a little better. But let's subtract the Eastern Michigan games out of there. Let's subtract the Delaware State game out of there. You take those two games away, and it was a pretty pedestrian season. You know, he laid some stinkers against LSU and Florida. He was kind of inconsistent down the stretch against Georgia and South Carolina. You know, there's a couple games in there that he wished he could have had back. But I will say he finished the season with, I would argue, one of the best games of his two-year career against Arkansas. There's a lot of reasons Missouri won that game. Arkansas's failure in the red zone was among them. But I thought Drew Lock played one of his, considering the competition, considering it was an SEC team, he played one of his best games to date, which, you know, has to give you some faith as a Tiger fan going into this offseason.
And I would imagine he's just going to get more and more comfortable into Josh Heupel's offense too.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's a huge advantage, because it was kind of a total scrap of the system last year, and that's hard on a guy that, you know, yes, he had 8 starts under his belt, but still, you know, pretty young guy. You know, last spring would have been going into his first spring, because he wasn't an early enrollee. I'm talking about the spring of 2016 after his freshman year when he was learning that new offense. So coming into this year, I mean, it's certainly an added comfort level, the fact that he's working with the same offensive system. And not only that, like, he's working with the same offensive line,
yeah,
he's working with the same receivers, same running back. I mean, you know, I think it's most important that it's the same offensive coordinator and same system, but I think all that other stuff is pretty big too, the fact that, I mean, all these faces around him are the same dudes that were there last year.
It's amazing how consistency is good for a quarterback.
And you know, I mean, it's one of the things that I probably get tired of hearing Heupel say and Barry say, but it is true. I mean, you know, I mean, I think anymore in college football, we're seeing some freshmen do some amazing things that maybe we didn't expect 10 years ago, that we kind of forget that, you know, just how important it is to have a couple years under their belt, because still, even though some freshmen are pretty special, they're still more the exception than the rule. And you know, I think in Drew Lock's case, he wasn't quite the exception. He wasn't ready to be that guy his true freshman year. But now as a junior, I think Missouri feels really comfortable with him.
I'm not saying that Drew Lock is Tom Brady, but you look at the NFL and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have been there for almost 20 years. So, yeah, it kind of says that consistency is pretty good when the quarterback and the head coach are on the same page for the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge arm, too. I mean,
he does. You know, yes, he does.
Yeah. The tools are there. It's more just kind of about putting it together. And I think, you know, even though he was getting more comfortable with that offense last year as the season went along, I think if you look at some of his reads sometimes, it still seemed like he was kind of learning throughout the season. This year, a full year under his belt, I mean, you would like to hope that, you know, that's all kind of taken care of at this point.
Blake Topmeyer, we appreciate your time as always, sir. And we're looking forward to your insights throughout the entire 2017 Missouri Tiger football season.
Hey, sounds great. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Blake. Have a good weekend. That is Blake Topmeyer from the Columbia Daily Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at @BTopmeyer. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wait a minute. I swear I've seen you.